Welcome everyone to the City of Melbourne. It is our Future Melbourne Committee meeting on Tuesday, the 2nd of July 2019, and we're declaring the meeting open at 5:30. We welcome councillors, management and members of the public in attendance. Thank you for being here this evening at the City of Melbourne. We respectfully acknowledge the traditional owners of the land, the Boonwurrung and the Woiwurrung Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, and pay respects to their elders past and present. For the Kulin Nation, Melbourne has always been an important place for meetings and events of social, educational, sporting and cultural significance. And today we are proud to say that Melbourne remains a significant gathering place for all people of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander backgrounds. I take this opportunity to notify members of the public that this meeting is being streamed live and it goes through the City of Melbourne's website. An audio and a video recording will be made available on the Council's website by close of business tomorrow. Whilst we do try to avoid filming members of the public who attend, there is a possibility that your image may be inadvertently captured as part of the live streaming, so we're putting you on notice now that that may happen, just for your information. The unconfirmed minutes of this meeting will also be available from the City of Melbourne's website as soon as practicable. Should you have any queries relating to the conduct of the meeting, the documentation or the submission process, please speak with a member of the Council business team after the meeting. I request that all mobile phones be turned off or to silent, just checking mine for the duration of this meeting, please, so that we have an uninterrupted meeting going forward. Thank you. The agenda this evening comprises two items of general business, councillors. Apologies have been received and are noted from Deputy Lord Mayor and Councillors Francis Gilley, Oak, Rees and Watts. I advise members of the committee this evening and the public that where the committee makes a decision on the basis of fewer than six members voting in favour of it, then that decision may be referred by a councillor to council for decision. Councillors, please note, as we always do, that if you have either a direct or an indirect interest as defined under the Local Government Act 1989 in relation to any matter to be considered this evening, if you could please disclose the type and nature of that interest prior to consideration of the item, that would be appreciated. Thank you. We come to our confirmation of minutes of previous meeting, and I'm calling on a councillor please to move a resolution adopting the minutes of open meeting number 57 that was held on Tuesday the 4th of July 2019 and the minutes of the open special meeting number 58 held on Tuesday 13 June. I've have it moved by Councillor Riley and I'm looking for a councillor to second. Councillor Pinder, thank you. I'm now putting the motion to the vote. All those in favour of that motion, that's unanimous and I declare the motion carried. Thank you. Councillors, are there any items from that meeting or those meetings that you would like raised at this time? None. Thank you very much. I'd like to note that we've received one item of correspondence and request to speak in relation to agenda item 7.2, which is proposed travel by Councillor Philip Leleu, Beijing, China, July 2019, received from Chris Thrum. Otherwise, there are no other items of correspondence or request to speak. However, in accordance with Council's Meeting Procedures Code, a 15-minute period is provided at the beginning and also at the end of each of our Future Melbourne Committee meetings for members of the public to be able to ask questions. Now, the purpose of this period is to ask questions, it's not to make submissions, and we do ask that if your questions could be no longer than 90 seconds in duration, that would be appreciated. What we'll do is we have a timer so that you can see where you're at with your timing, but we can let you know as well. And what we'd like to do is if anybody has any questions at this part of the meeting, if you can put your hands up, we'll take down names and then we'll ask you one by one to come to the podium. turn the microphone on if you don't mind, so that we've got a proper recording, and we'll go from there. So if we've got members of the public that would like to ask questions, if you could raise your hands and we'll grab your names now. Good, we've got a couple. So here, name please.
Deborah Claydon.
Deborah Claydon, great. And we've got one just behind you there.
Maureen Ashmore.
Maureen Ashmore. If you're agreeable, we'll go with that. So, Deborah Claydon, can I please ask you to come to the podium here and speak into the microphone with your question? That would be appreciated. Thanks so much.
My question is, I am a member of U3A Melbourne City. We're desperately in need of accommodation for classes for people aged 50 plus. Is there any chance of Melbourne City getting a community hub in the city centre? We know you've got them all around the city, but there's no Melbourne City community hub for elderly people to have their classes, and we've got many classes on offer. So thank you. That's it.
Lord Mayor, may I?
Excellent question. Councillor Pinder.
Deborah, thanks for that. I think Jenny Holling was here a couple of meetings ago, if not last meeting, and I did say that I would meet with her, and that's already been arranged. But in the meantime, they've also touched base with the men's shed at Federation Square, so you've got some space there. So that's top of my list, okay, to see how we can navigate the city and enable you to get some space. Okay? Thanks.
Good, and I'm sure there are officers supporting you so that it can all happen. Is that good? Excellent. Maureen.
Yes.
Maureen Ashmore, welcome.
Yes. Thank you. I've got a couple of questions regarding the ex-Lord Mayor. I don't know if anyone can answer them. The report that Dr. Freckleton did was released to the public on the 18th of March 2018, 10 pages. How many pages altogether were there in the report?
Do you want an answer to that first one, or do you want
yes.
to give both of your questions and then
no,
we can...
No, I've got more than two.
Well, we'll see how we go. Let's do the first one. The commitment was that a summary document, that was agreement, would be made available, and that was the 10 pages.
Yep.
You want to know how long the entire document is?
Yes.
I think we'll have to take that on notice. So we'll take that on notice.
I think Mr. Hannity said it was 100 pages when he was employed by you, Melbourne City Council, which would seem to indicate that 90% of the victims of the sexual harassment haven't been heard, in my opinion.
Maureen, we're just doing questions and then we can come back
okay.
to you with the details.
Hannity said there was a significant number of people who were interviewed, and were there any recommendations in the report?
So the recommendations were made available in the summary document, so that's all been made available to
okay.
the public.
In the summary document it said that two councillors were proven to be sexually harassed at work. It found that they two have occurred within the meaning of Section 92 of Victorian Equal Opportunity Act 2010 and may constitute gross misconduct under the Local Government Act 1989. Has that been investigated, whether it was gross misconduct by the council?
Can I pass
that
to...
That is a recommendation in the report that Dr. Freckleton did.
So I'm going
stipulate.
To pass to Keith.
Has anybody investigated whether it was gross misconduct? Has anybody questioned the other victims? How many victims are there?
Through you, Lord Mayor, the issue of gross misconduct is a finding that can only be made by VCAT, and the Municipal Inspector, Chief Municipal Inspector, is the only one that can take that action.
Have the Victoria Police requested information from this report, or the Freckleton report?
If we were to have any request from Victoria Police for any information relating to any alleged offence, we would comply. I'm not at liberty to talk about what we do with police, but I can tell you that as far as your question about the gross misconduct, that is not a matter for us to prosecute.
Yeah, I understand that they would know the details of the difference between sexual harassment and gross misconduct. I wouldn't expect that.
Maureen, do you have an overall point that we're going to get to?
Yes. I just really wanted to point out that, you know, there's a lot of other women, I'm sure, who have worked or did work or do work at the council who have been subjected to harassment, who probably haven't had the opportunity to tell anybody or be interviewed or, you know, have their complaints actually listened to and acted on.
So, Maureen, to that point, which was a question, have people had the opportunity to come forward and be involved in the investigation?
Oh, well, I think in the past you said they had to go to the police, which sort of indicated that the council wasn't dealing with it in any way anymore.
Our systems, Maureen, remain always open to employees to be able to raise issues with us. There's always that option to do that. I'm not sure about the comment in relation to referral to police, but of course everybody, if they feel that they have been aggrieved in some way, also has the option to go to the police. So there are no options that have been closed in any way. In fact, all options are open, and I'll ask our Acting Chief Executive to say a few words.
Through you, Lord Mayor. At any time, if any staff member has an allegation of any nature that they raise with the organisation, we have due process in terms of investigation of those matters.
Maureen, we do welcome your question and transparency to the extent that we can over these issues. And I think if you've got a few more, the best thing we could do is ask you to put them in writing to us, and we would be more than happy to respond to them.
I'll think about that.
Good. Thank you. Thanks for coming. All right. At this point, I don't think there were any other questions, but we do have 15 minutes at the end. Oh, here we go. Please come up to the podium.
I'm also part of U3A, but I'm trying to address the question not just for U3A. I think the City of Melbourne has been rated the number one for quite a few years, the best city in the world to live in. But it's very interesting, the senior population in City of Melbourne has increased drastically, particularly the last 5 years. But for some reason, within the city, we don't have a senior community center. And also, it's not well supported. I'm talking about senior community center. It's not just for U3A, but for all the non-for-profit organization that supports senior activities. And there's many of them, which I'm part of them. And I live in the city for the last 14 years. And I think we need to look at that a little bit more than what we are today. Because the City of Melbourne has aging sections and all that, and we're trying to make sure the city is a very livable city for people of all cultures and all ages. So I would like the City Council to look into that.
Thank you very much, and I believe that will be part of Councillor Pinder's work.
Yeah, like you, I love the fact that we do have a senior population in this city. I see them every day on the trams and in the streets. And we do have a lot of spaces. So I think in the conversation that I have with Jenny, I will raise that as I know it's not U3A specific, but I'll raise that as an overall point anyway. But we've got Kensington Town Hall, we've got the North Melbourne Town Hall and Centre. We've got a lot of community spaces. So if there's anything in particular that you want, if you could write to me, that would be great. Yeah? Great, fantastic. Send it to me. Okay, thank you.
Deborah, was there something else that you were thinking then?
No, I didn't realise when I asked my question before that I could have stayed there and replied, but you did mention men shed very small. We've got 1,450 senior members. We need a lot more space than the men shed. We need a dedicated senior...
Deborah, I've read your annual report in depth, and I'm very mindful of what your needs are. So let's work with the team and see what we can. I mean, we're not going to be able to accommodate everything, every need of yours, but certainly we will be working on it after we meet with Jenny. Okay, thanks.
And it sounds like that sense of community amongst, yeah, so I think we should be able to help with that. So look forward to hearing more about that into the future. Well, thank you. Noting that there are no reports from management to be considered in the meeting this evening, so moving to general business, there are two items of general business to be considered this evening. The first item is item 7.1, which is the post-travel report by Councillor Susan Riley, Seeds and Chips Summit, Italy, May 2019. I'm going to move the motion in respect to this matter, and I'm calling on a councillor to second the motion. Councillor Louis, thank you. I am delighted to support this motion. Melbourne has been a sister city to Milan for a number of years, since 2004, and our connection really goes back decades before that. It was formalised in 2004, and of course that's very much represented by the fact that we've had so many Italian migrants over years that have made Melbourne their home and really shaped our culture and importantly those connections back into Italy. It's really important to us at the City of Melbourne that we continue to forge closer ties with our sister cities, and we find that's important for social, cultural and historical reasons, but also for economic reasons as we move forward. And the fact that these bridges between our sister cities also create future opportunities for learning, for sharing and for economic development, and that's why our investment in them over the long term. And that's why we're so particular with our sister city relationships as well. Councillor Riley, whilst in Milan, connected with city officials to discuss, firstly, a topic very close to your heart, but not only that, something that you've been involved in really establishing and then growing here in the City of Melbourne, which is our Melbourne Fashion Week and our focus on fashion and the retail context of that in particular. And I know that you've come back, and the report states this, with many good ideas and ways in which we can continue to work together, Milan being such a home of fashion and design in Italy. So that was one of the great outcomes. You also, as it says in the motion, represented us at the Seeds and Chips Global Food and Innovation Summit. It was a key component of the program and very much one for the learning there, which I'll come to, but also the fact that we are hosting that summit back here in September this year, and being able to bring back a lot of those learnings and make sure that where we can, we've got that consistency of content and contact, means that we can really leverage these opportunities to get the best outcomes for Melbourne and Melburnians. The summit itself, as Councillor Riley's report sets out, took away many innovative ideas and will inject many innovative ideas and sustainable practices into our food and agriculture industry, our supply chains and our focus areas, noting that 80% of the vegetables used that's consumed in Greater Melbourne are actually sourced from the suburbs ringing our city. So there are some lovely ways in which we can continue to ensure that we're healthy and sustainable in every sense of the word words as we move forward. And that's what the summit in Milan and then the summit here in September will help us realise in terms of building the resilience of our agricultural centre that has benefits also for the city in terms of how we continue to feed a growing population in the best way possible. I also wanted to note, and again it's in the detail of the report, that there were also many insights and connections brought back around our transport strategy, and so contributions into that, as well as our waste strategy, and it's resulted in further connections officer to officer and another trip. And I think there's so much learning and value there. So thank you, Councillor Riley, for that. Thank you for representing our interests in Milan, and all of these are good reasons why we support travel for our councillors to be able to do our best in representing our city and making a contribution to these forums, summits and conversations, but also in being able to bring value back in terms of our learning and how we can move towards best practice as a city and as a community. committee. So for those reasons, I'm happy to propose. Thank you. Councillor Louis.
Thank you very much, Lord Mayor. Very hard act to follow. I think you've covered everything. But can I also thank Councillor Riley for the time that she's spent in attending the Seed and Chips conference, but more importantly, also being part of the Baton Hanover for the Global Tables conference, which Melbourne will hold in September this year. But it's not many activities that I can say that I was there at the beginning, but at this relationship, we've got to, I think firstly, we've got to acknowledge Paul Mirabella, who was actually instrumental in setting up this relationship. He certainly wasn't just a City of Melbourne initiative, but through the Italian community and the Italian Chamber of Commerce. And through when Paul was president, certainly there was a great deal of effort and work in putting this together. And also, I think, at the same time, I think Tony Di Domenico was the Trade Commissioner in Milan at the same time. They're all connected together. But it started off as Melbourne and fashion, and not that we bring up name, but we also, in those days, we did collaborate, and the partnership was very strong with our retailers, particularly with David Jones, who, if I'm not mistaken, supplied Meeting Gale for the original catwalk for the Melbourne Fashion Week in Milan. So it has been 15, 16 years now, this relationship, and thank you for re-establishing. It has gone a little bit quiet over the last few years, but I think with the, as the Lord Mayor said, with the Italian community here in Melbourne, it's certainly a relationship. I think that's very well worth in elevating, and certainly there's certainly many initiatives that we can do. So thank you, and great photos as well. Thank you.
Councillors, are there any speakers to this? Any other speakers to this motion? No. Councillor Pinder.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. Mine is more about the future of our food system amid a diminishing food bowl. And so Seeds and Chips is a conference of paramount importance. So while many topics were discussed during the September Global Table Conference, I'm hoping that Seeds and Chips will generate interest and garner the support we need of an international audience so that Melbourne can actually demonstrate its commitment to this wide-ranging topic. Given the formation of the Melbourne Food Alliance, which has been auspiced by the City of Melbourne, in collaboration with other major stakeholders, including academia, leaders in sustainability and agriculture, as well as councils. So I'm looking forward to the outcomes of Seeds and Chips in Melbourne in September and hoping that all this gets rolled into a beautiful set of outcomes for Melbourne.
Thank you, Councillor Pinder. Any other councillors? No? Then I'm going to put the motion to the vote. All those in favour of this motion, please raise your hands. That's unanimous, so I declare that motion carried. Thank you, councillors. That brings us to item 7.2, proposed travel by Councillor Philip Leleu, Beijing, China, July 2019. And I note that we have a request to present from Chris Thrum, so I'll call Chris Thrum to the podium. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord Mayor, councillors, men and women of the Kulin Nation. I support the recommendation from management that recommends that Councillor Philip Leleu travels to Beijing and supports Melbourne Airport in their presentations at some very important meetings. Melbourne is an international city, and it is appropriate that councillors, Lord Mayor and Melbourne City staff travel overseas and represent Melbourne on an international standing. I'd also like to echo the statements that the Lord Mayor said in the previous item, and I'm sure Susan Riley will be looking forward to the photographic elements that Councillor Philip Leleu will present in his report when he comes back from China. As we're aware, Councillor Philip Leleu has travelled overseas on many occasions now, and he has enough experience to properly represent the City of Melbourne, and I'm sure he'll do a fantastic job in this meeting overseas at Beijing.
And thanks always for your involvement in council business. We appreciate it. All right. I'm calling on a councillor to move this motion in respect to this matter. Councillor Lelou, thank you. And a councillor to second the motion. Thank you. Councillor Lippitt. Councillor Lelou, over to you.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. And look, more than happy to do this. I think, you know, a lot of our ratepayers rely on tourism, and it's one of the areas that we actually help our ratepayers. I've always stayed true to the motto that, you know, we always build bridges, not burn them. And I think, you know, one of the key stats on this is why it's important is many times I've actually said, if you look at the China market for tourism, I think last year I only used 10% of the people actually have passports. So that is how big the market is actually at the moment. The new airport in Beijing is actually opened up in September this year. It's actually going to handle 45 million passengers by 2021, 72 million by 2025, and it's expected to have 880,000 flights plus 100 million passengers a year. And most of that's actually going to be outbound. So the market is actually amazing. I think that's one of the reasons why Melbourne Airport is so keen to get on this. This is going to be a Team Melbourne approach. So we've got Melbourne Airport, Visit Victoria and City Melbourne. And it's quite interesting, you know, when speaking to some of the Visit Victoria guys, they never use the word Victoria because apparently nobody know where Victoria is. But when they say it's actually Melbourne, they get, oh, right, I should get it. So the fact that it's a Melbourne team, I think, is really, really important. Look, it's, in my opinion, Melbourne has a lot to offer in terms of tourism. But, you know, as a 30-year Melbournian, I think I'm a bit biased on that regards. But also City of Melbourne, we've also invested a lot into tourism and event space. And I think the major benefits coming out of this would be the hotels, hospitalities, and all the retailers that all she pays a lot of the rates for this. We also have a lot of numerous Chinese airlines here, and I think they also do a lot of support here as well. And they sponsor a lot of the, for example, China Southern sponsors Melbourne Football Club and many of the other community events. So, I really wanted to say thanks to Lyle and the Melbourne Airport for the initiative. It's something that we're very keen to work with Melbourne Airport because there's a few things that I think in terms of our agenda, we work very well. You know, for example, the airport link, the flight path for our East Melbourne residents, also Uber flight or air, whatever we call it now these days. But also I'm very keen to actually talk about how we can get red coats, volunteers into the airports because I think that's a great benefit. You know, if we're going to do that in Melbourne, we should also have that in the airport. So, that's pretty much it from me.
Thank you, Councillor Lou. Councillor Lippitt, a seconder.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Are our ratepayers paying for that one, Councillor? I support this. City does a lot of business in China, and the role of the city in that particular market is to make introductions and open doors. And the role of the city council in that context is pretty unique. It's not something that we do for all markets, and it's something that, as you said, we do because we've got that cachet. The city of Melbourne can enable things to happen that sometimes the state struggles with, but vice versa. It's important that all levels of government are doing what they can to open these doors. It's an area that I personally struggle with. We have a business plan for engaging with the Asia Pacific region that does include more flights into Melbourne. Contradicts pretty much the rest of my policy platform, but because it is consistent with council policy, I think we should support this wholeheartedly. But of course, the main reason I support it is because Chris Thrum's excellent submission suggests that we should. So go well, councillor. I'm sure you'll represent us well.
Councillors, any other speakers to this motion? Councillor Pinder.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. I agree with Councillor Lelou that we ought to strive to build bridges, and to that end, such travel is important. However, I seek increased collaboration and transparency around such decisions for the future. Also, I know that Melbourne Airport is owned by Australian Pacific Airports Limited, a private corporation owned by institutional investors. And given that it is ratepayers' funds that we are dispersing, perhaps a more cost-effective arrangement might have been shared costs. So may I thank management for their support of what will eventually produce a good outcome for the City of Melbourne, and perhaps management also could consider making inroads to the Indian market, which is burgeoning in respect of tourism and international students. And I think it augurs quite nicely for us to show that encouragement to another nation that is fast becoming a nation to reckon with. Thank you.
Any other speakers to the motion? I was just going to add, this is in the context of there being, of the Chinese government having a cultural and tourism office in Sydney, very proactive in terms of attracting the Chinese market to Sydney, and the fact that we are going to be the biggest city in Australia, and making sure we're doing our very best to really put ourselves on the map and make sure that we're getting the right sort of investment into our city and the opportunities is really important as well, which is of course one of the key purposes of this trip and why I'm happy to support it as well. Look forward to receipt of your report within 60 days of return and hearing more about it if it gets approved this evening. So thank you. If there are no other speakers to this motion, I'm going to put it to the vote. All those in favour of the motion, please raise your hands. It's unanimous, so I declare that motion carried. Thanks, councillors, because that concludes the items of general business for consideration this evening. I'm going to ask councillors now, are there any items of urgent business that you would like considered? None? Thank you. Now, that brings us, as I said at the start of this meeting, back to our last item at FMC, is always whether there are any other questions from the public at this time. We allow some time. I can see Maureen's hand has gone up. Are there any other questions from the public? No. All right, Maureen, on the basis that we need questions and that we said earlier it would be great to get them in writing and we can respond to you, what have you got for us?
Well, while I'm here, I'd like to know, have Melbourne City Council ratepayers paid any of Mr Doyle's legal costs?
I believe we've answered this question previously. Acting CEO, Claire?
Through you, Lord Mayor. The City of Melbourne has made no payments to Robert Doyle for his legal expenses. Any payment to Robert Doyle for his legal fees is the subject of a claim by Mr Doyle directly to councillor's insurer. All councillors and officers are covered by this insurance, and the decision to accept the claim and any subsequent payments rests entirely with the insurer, and the City of Melbourne has no involvement in the decision to either accept the claim or to make payment. So restating that the City of Melbourne has not made any payments to Robert Doyle for his legal expenses.
Great. Thank you. Thanks, Maureen. All right. That leaves us to say thank you very much for attending this evening. We really appreciate your interest, councillors. Thanks for your hard work today. And we're declaring the meeting closed at 6:03 p.m. Thank you.